Psalm 119 and verse 9, and we'll read down to the end of this section, down to the end of verse 16. Last week we studied the first section, verses 1 to 8, under the letter Aleph. And Aleph means leader or guide. I wonder today, is the Lord Jesus your leader? Is he your guide? Is he the one that you follow? And we come today to the second stanza, which begins with this Hebrew word Beth, B-E-T-H, and we'll speak about that in a moment. But let's just read this portion from verse 9 to verse 16 of Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, we're coming today to this second section of Psalm 119. And remember the reason why we're studying Psalm 119. You see, Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. From start to finish, its emphasis is on the Scriptures. And you will know that this year is the 400th anniversary of the first publication of the King James Bible. And one of the reasons why I believe that it is appropriate for us to study this psalm is because of that anniversary. We want to focus today and over the weeks to come on this psalm that majors on the Word of God. Its focus is squarely on the Holy Scriptures. So I hope that you understand in this 400th anniversary year that it is very appropriate for us to study Psalm 119. Well, the psalm does begin with that word Beth, that Hebrew word Beth, just up above verse 9. And the word Beth literally means house. It's the Hebrew word for house. We think of places in the Bible where that word Beth is used. Bethel. The Word of God speaks about Bethel. We all know that Bethel was the place where Jacob had that wonderful dream about the ladder reaching from earth to heaven. And Bethel literally means house of God. Beth, house, El, God. The house of God. Bethlehem. We all know of Bethlehem, the place where the Savior was born. Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Bethany. The place where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived. Bethany literally means house of figs. Bethesda. You remember the pool of Bethesda? Remember the people who were beside the pool of Bethesda? And you remember that there was one man who'd been there for 38 years. And he hadn't been cured. Every time the waters were disturbed, someone else got into the water before him. But the day came whenever he didn't need the water in the pool of Bethesda, because the Lord Jesus Christ gloriously healed him. Well, Bethesda means house of mercy. House of mercy. And then we think of Bethsaida. the place where Peter and Andrew came from, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida literally means house of fish. And so, at the beginning of this second section of Psalm 119, we're brought face to face with this word Beth. This Hebrew word is right at the beginning of this second section. The house. If you have a little inscription there, it's depicting a house. Now, what's the lesson for us today? Well, there's a lesson for the house of God. This house that we're sitting in today, that we're worshipping in today, the house of God. But then there's a lesson for our own houses, for our own homes. And the lesson is that the Word of God should be at the center of this house and of our own houses. The Holy Scriptures ought to be at the center of everything that takes place in this house, the house of God. So all our ministry revolves around the Bible. And we make no apologies for that. We're not ashamed to say that. At the risk of being called old-fashioned or outdated, it doesn't matter. This house was raised up over 25 years ago so that the Word of God would be at the center of all that takes place. We're not an entertainment organization. There are a lot of churches today that are becoming entertainment organizations. Social clubs, glorified social clubs, we could say. But that's not the purpose of this building. The purpose of this building is to present the Word of the living God to those who are lost and dying in sin. The purpose of this building, this house, is to present the Word of God to the people of God so that they might be built up and encouraged and blessed and fed on the Word of God, which is so essential for spiritual growth. Oh, we need to make the Word of God the center of all that takes place here in this house. But I wonder, is the Word of God at the center of our own houses? Does the Bible have central place in our own homes? Our own homes that we will go to after this service? Aye, is the Bible the main book in our own homes? Is the Bible read? Is it meditated upon? Is it feasted upon? Sad to say, many homes today that you'd go into, if they have a Bible, the Bible's usually in a drawer somewhere, or it's in some corner, and you would need Mr. Sheen to get the dust off it. Ah, there's so much dust on the old Bible because it's not read. It was Spurgeon who said on one occasion, I think, there is enough dust on some of our Bibles to write the word damnation. And I tell you, dear friends, it is a most serious and a most solemn thing to possess a copy of the Holy Scriptures and yet not to read it. I tell you today, God in heaven frowns upon the home where there's dust on the Bible. Oh, I pray that our homes where the Word of God is at the center. Do you have a family altar? Is there a time each day, perhaps in the morning, or in the evening, lunchtime, whenever. Is there a time each day whenever, as a family, that those in the home gather together to read the Word of God? The family altar. You remember that whenever Elijah went to face the false prophets on Mount Carmel, that it tells us that the altar of the Lord was broken down. And the first thing that Elijah had to do before he could do anything else was to repair the altar of the Lord. And then he was able to put the wood and the sacrifice and the water, and then the fire came from heaven, then the power came down. But dear friends, first of all, the broken altar had to be rebuilt. We would love to see the Lord move in our land again. But I believe that he's not going to move. I believe that His gracious Spirit is not going to blow upon us until in our own homes we repair the altar of the Lord. I believe that the Lord will not revive us until He looks down from heaven and He sees each one of us in our own homes, as it were, lighting a light, lighting a candle, as it were. Dispelling the darkness with the Word of God. Making the effort to put the Word of God back in its rightful place. I believe that when we get to that stage, I believe then we can expect the Lord to move. You see, we can be as holy as we like in this church. We can come twice on a Sunday and Thursday night, and we could come every night of the week to the church. But it's not good enough unless things are sorted out in our own homes. Unless the Word of God is at the center of our own homes. So, dear friend, today let me encourage you that if there's dust on the Bible in your home, you get rid of the dust. You take the Word of God and you begin to read through it. And you'll be blessed. I want us for the remaining time today to think about one of the verses in Psalm 119. One of the verses that we've read today from the second section of the Psalm. And it's a well-known verse. I'm sure that most of us know it. It's verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I want that to be our text for this morning's message. I believe, first of all, here we have the best publication. The best publication, thy word. Thy word. It's the best publication, isn't it? Never ever was there a book written or printed that could be compared to this book. Never ever was there a book printed that could be compared to the AV, to the King James Version, the Word of the Living God. And as it were, all the modern versions are just like plumbing manuals compared to this book. You might as well have the TV guide as have one of the modern versions. But not the King James Version. Oh, it's the best publication. Thank God, as we hold this book in our hands today, as we meditate upon it, we have the best publication of all. Why is it the best publication? Why do I say that it's the best? Well, it's because it's thy word. Thy word. You see, it's His Word. It's the Word of God. It's the Word that has come down from heaven. This is not the word of a man. This is not the message of some fallen creature. But no, this is the message of the Almighty Himself. This is the word of the Almighty Himself, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. It's His word. It's thy word. That's why it's special. That's why it's the best. Thy word. It wouldn't be the best if it was my word or if it was your word. No, no. No, no, my word, your word, isn't to be compared with the word of the eternal. Man's word is so often broken. Man's word, man's language is so often unclean and sinful, and it's imperfect. But not the word of the living God. There are no imperfections in this book. Oh, bless God that we have such a book. Bless the Lord that we have such a publication. It's His word. It's thy word. That's a lovely little phrase that's repeated. Not only in verse 11, but you remember verse 105. We all know it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thank God we have the best publication in this text of Scripture, because it speaks of His word. It speaks of thy word. Tell me this, dear friend, what do you spend your time reading? You know, it is good to read. The Bible does say, give attendance unto reading. But what do you read from Monday to Saturday? What do you spend your time reading? Is it the TV guide? Is it some tabloid newspaper? Or is it the best publication of all? Is it His word? Is it thy word? Oh, how we ought to cherish this book. Oh, how we ought to treasure this book, because it is His word. And then you see, I not only see the best publication here in verse 11, but I see the best practice. The best practice, because it tells us, thy word have I hid. Thy word have I hid. We hide the word of God. We hide it because it's precious, because it's valuable. You see, if you have something precious, if you have something valuable that belongs to you, then you'll hide it. We hide things that are of great value. We hide things that we don't want others to discover. We hide things that we don't want others to steal. Things that we want to be protected and preserved. And we hide them for safekeeping. And it's because they're of great value. Well, you see, this book is the most valuable thing of all. And we ought to hide it. I'm not talking about hiding it in some drawer in your home.
I'm not speaking about hiding it in some nook or cranny in your home out of sight where no one else can access it. But I'm speaking about hiding it in your heart. You see, that's what the psalmist goes on to say. He says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." In mine heart. The will of God is that we should take this book and that we should read it and that we should memorize it. Get it into our heads. But it's not enough for it simply to be in our heads. Because the psalmist did not say, "Thy word have I hid in mine head." No, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." You see, this book needs to get to the seat of our affections, we could say. This book needs to get to the place where our love and our passion pours forth from. The heart. In other words, what the psalmist is saying is that this book must become our passion. This book must be loved. This book must become a part of us. It must become a sacred obsession, as it were. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. That's the best place, you see. In mine heart. The best publication, the best practice, the best place. The best place to hide the word of God is in the heart, where no one can steal it away from you. I don't know, but the day may come whenever the authorities will take the Bible from us. I don't know. At the present time, it's not like that. We have the Bible and there's no one breaking down the door of our homes to search our homes for the Bible, to confiscate the Bible. There's no one storming in here this morning, raiding this church to remove the Bibles from it. Now, that's happening in other countries in the world. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happens here before long. We're heading in that direction, you know. But I wonder, dear friends, if the Bibles were taken from us, and if I didn't have this book to read from this morning, and if you didn't have a Bible to hold in the pew as you sit there, I wonder how much of the Word of God we would know. Let's just say that we took a pen and a paper and we had to write down as much of the Bible as we know. I wonder how many pages we could fill. Is the Word of God hid in your heart? You see, the authorities could raid the church this morning. They could break down the door of our homes. And they could confiscate the Bibles. And they could burn the Bibles. But what would that matter, in a sense, if it's in our hearts? Yes, they may burn the Bibles, they may confiscate the Bibles, but they can't take the Word of God from our hearts if it's hidden in our hearts. No man can take it from our hearts. When it's in here, and it's in here, that's where it needs to be. Ah, friends, our prayer this morning should be, Lord, give me such a love for your word. Give me such a passion for your word. Give me such an appetite for your word. Give me an insatiable appetite for your word,
so that I will hide it in my heart. Have you an appetite for the Bible today? I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, if you don't have a hunger for the Bible, then you've got problems. There's obviously spiritual sickness. One of the surest signs of spiritual health is that there is at least some desire for the Word of God. If you don't have that appetite today, if you don't have that hunger today for the Holy Scriptures, well, my friend, you need to get before God in the secret place. And you need to get things sorted out with your Maker. Oh, that the Lord would give us a love for His Word. That He'd give us an appetite for His Word. The wonder is, your spiritual appetite as good as your physical appetite? Is your appetite for heavenly food as good as your appetite for bodily food? Aye, we've got a good appetite when it comes to the Sunday dinner. But I wonder, do we have the same appetite for this book? The best publication, Thy Word. The best practice, Thy Word have I hid. The best place, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart. And then the best purpose, that I might not sin against Thee. Why did the psalmist hide the Word of God in his heart? Why did the psalmist learn the Word of God? Why did he memorize it? Why did he love it? It was because he had a desire not to sin against his God. And you know, that's one of the main reasons why we must hide the Word of God in our hearts. We must hide it because we do not want to sin against the Lord. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against Thee. You see, we hide the Word of God in our hearts because we want to be holy people. You know, you can hear people talk about holiness and being holy and all the rest of it. But the question is, do they love their Bible? Oh, I've heard people talk about holiness, and you've heard them too. But I wonder if you ask them, well, now how much time each day do you spend in your Bible? There might be a red face. Oh, the Lord wants us to be holy. We are to be holy people. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Aye, the Lord's will for us is that we be holy. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. But the question is, how do we be holy? How can we be holy? How can we live a pure life, a clean life, in a filthy, disgusting world? We can be holy through this book. We can be holy, indeed we will be holy people, if we will only but hide His Word in our hearts. Oh, the importance of holiness. Child of God, do you want to be more holy? Do you want to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here is the answer. The more time you spend in the Bible, the more holy you will be. That's very simple, isn't it? The more time you spend meditating in the Word of God, the more holy you will be. Do you know what that word meditate means? Have you ever looked into the fields and looked at the cows sitting, resting, and they're chewing? They're chewing the cud. You farmers know that terminology, chewing the cud. They're chewing over the grass. Oh, the cows have it exactly right. You see, they don't just eat the grass, take it off the soil, and swallow it straight down. No, they receive it, and they begin to chew it. They begin to meditate on it and chew it over and over again, endlessly. And the moments pass, and the animals are still chewing. Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do with His Word. Oh, He wants us to chew on it. He wants us to meditate on it. As we go through each day, He wants us to be thinking about it and considering it. He wants us to fill our minds with His Word. And you see, dear friends, if we give time to the Word of God, and if we hide it in our hearts, then we will become holier people. The problem very often with a Christian who is falling into sin is that they're neglecting the Scriptures. They're neglecting the private study of the Word of God. You see, someone has said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. If you want to be kept from sin, you need to grasp hold of this book, and you need to cherish it as your most valuable possession, never daring to let the dust settle on it. And if we don't cherish this book, if we have a careless attitude toward this book, and if we neglect the reading of this book, well, then we will certainly, most certainly not be holy people. The best publication, the best practice, the best place, the best purpose. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Joseph said in Genesis 39 and verse 9, whenever he was faced with that harlot of a wife, that rascal of a person who was Potiphar's wife, whenever she approached him and tried to seduce him, this is what Joseph said: how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How was it that Joseph was able to overcome the temptation? How was it that Joseph was able to live a holy life even when faced with an adulteress? It was because I believe that Joseph loved the Word of God. Oh, he didn't have very much of it. He only had the opening chapters. He only had what the Lord had communicated with him. It wasn't very much. Only the opening chapters of the Bible. No doubt passed down orally by word of mouth from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then to Joseph. But I believe that he was a young man who loved the Word of God. And he was enabled as a result of that to be a holy man of God. You see, you remember what was said of Elisha. Remember that the woman and her husband who built the room for Elisha. Remember what they said of God's servant? "This is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." It was because Elisha loved the word of God. He cherished the scriptures. Now, that's how he was an holy man of God. Do you want to be holy? Then make this book your obsession. "Thy word, O Lord, thy precious word alone can lead me on. By this until the darksome night be gone, lead thou me on. Thy word is light, thy word is life and power. By it, O guide me in each trying hour. Whate'er my path, led by thy word, 'tis good. O lead me on, be my poor heart thy blessed word's abode. Lead thou me on, thy Holy Spirit gives the light to see, and leads me to thy word, close following thee. Led by aught else, I tread a devious way. O lead me on, speak, Lord, and help me ever to obey. Lead thou me on, my every step shall then be well defined, and all I do according to thy mind."